Welcome to the conversation. Do you recognize that melody? That is Winter from Vivaldi's Four Seasons. Pretty original, eh? Thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in. The number here is 503-325-0010, and we're looking for your calls about what you like to do to prepare for winter and what you look forward to about it. This topic was prompted by an article that I read about how folks in northern Scandinavia respond to winter, prepare for it, think about it, consider it, and that contrasts somewhat starkly to how we view winter on the Northwest Coast. Some of us, not all of us. I'll be speaking for myself today. My thoughts and opinions do not reflect the opinions of the Tillicum Foundation, its board of directors, or the stations of Coast Community Radio. So there are a couple of words that come to us. One of them is hygge, sometimes pronounced hygge, and that's a sense of coziness that comes in the wintertime, and it's brought on by things like lighting candles, being cozy and warm, spending time with loved ones, and doing things that are intimate and that bring us together and that are sort of generate solace and comfort and again, coziness. So that word hygge is kind of the inspiration for the show today. As the days get darker and colder, and as the rain starts coming, the wind storms happen, it's easy to think of that term SAD, seasonal affective disorder. And so when the skies are gray, when the sun doesn't come out, when you're not getting enough vitamin D, E, which one is it, from the sun, it can lead to varying levels of depression. And so we'd like to avoid that this coming winter. And so I want to hear from you, and I'd like to have you let us know what your tips and tricks are for finding contentedness and happiness and comfort and solace in the wintertime. Do you have a wood stove? Do you like chopping the wood and bringing it in and getting it dry? I did pose this question on Facebook, and so until that phone starts ringing, I'm going to read some of the responses that I've gotten from the community online. Thanks to everybody who responded. Susan Peterson, our own Susan Peterson at the station here, says the birding is amazing. And so when I asked her what kind of birds we should be keeping an eye out for, she said that the neotropical birds have migrated south and that the migratory Arctic birds are coming in to spend the winter. And lots of birds just fly right on by. I think that's interesting that there are Arctic birds that spend the summers up north, and then they come down here for the mild climate that we consider harsh. Sid DeLuca says, making reservations for somewhere warm. Where would you like to go in the winter to get a little bit of respite from the weather? Obviously someplace sunny. Our own Anne, host of Cold Coast, said, get a gym membership. I told her that wasn't going to happen. But she does suggest that when you're feeling caged from the rain, you can go to Patriot Hall up at Clatsop Community College or any of your local gyms. And it's nice to be able to see out to the river while moving around and not freezing or getting soaked. And so how do you get your exercise in the wintertime? I know that clothing is important. I'm going to remind you that the phone number is 503-325-0010. We'd prefer to have you come on the air than to have me reading responses to a Facebook post. My friend Carissa says flashlights and batteries and books. And I asked her if she had any books on her list for this winter, and she said that she loves a good thriller book during the winter. Anything Tana French or Gillian Flynn. So those are some authors to look out for if you're looking for some reading to inspire you or get you through this winter. Heather Douglas said wind storms, and I couldn't agree more. When the weather is stormy at the coast, I think it's some of the most exciting and beautiful times of the year. I think that if we all wanted sunshine all the time, we'd be living in a more southern latitude, don't you? So the number again, 503-325-0010. What do you love about the winter in the Northwest? There's got to be something. I'm hearing crickets. Miranda says she gets good books to read and lots of wool clothes. She goes tanning once a week for 5 minutes. She doesn't get tan, but the light helps. And then there's always the hot tub at the pool. I, as well, am all about the wool clothing. I've had the different technologies of winter clothes over the years. And I think wool is still the best. Don't have a single piece of Gore-Tex in my closet. No offense if you do. Jill Mulholland says it's the season for making art, and the Native Americans got that right. And Joanne chimed in that it's also a good time for storytelling in every culture, but especially in Native people's cultures. The long, wet, dark winters are when they carved the wooden totem poles here in the Pacific Northwest. So I think that that's really interesting, and art was a popular response. The winter is a really good time for making art, and I definitely agree with that sentiment. My particular artistic medium of choice is music, and so when the cloud cover comes in like a blanket and you feel cozy and you become introspective, it's a great time for writing music. And we've got our first call. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Hi, Graham. I love the feeling of Sisu, that we have this fortitude here in Astoria, this internal fortitude, the guts. That's a Finnish word meaning, you know, guts or intestinal fortitude. And when we have those days which are blustery and the rain is sideways and we're soaked, somehow we are surviving. We are strong. We're strong here in this community. And I love that feeling.
That's absolutely true. I recognize your voice, Donna. Thank you for calling in.
There are
times when I travel south and I see people in their shorts and their flip-flops, and I just think, man, they just don't even know. They don't know.
Correct.
They don't know the
exactly.
kind of guts and intestinal fortitude that it takes to survive a Northwest winter.
That's right.
Is there anything that you like to do, especially to prepare? You know, are you getting out your sweaters and putting away your short sleeves? And what's on your list?
Books. Lots of wonderful books. And I think really also how we interact with the elements, looking at, again, like Heather said, the winter storms as an opportunity to feel alive, mm-hmm. really alive. So spending time outside and being buffeted by the wind, that's an exhilarating feeling.
Indeed, indeed. Well, thank you so much for the call.
Thank you, Graham.
Bye. Bye. The number is 503-325-0010. Do you think that the winters here have increased your guts and your intestinal fortitude, your sisu, as the Finns would call it? Give us a call and let us know what you love about Pacific Northwest winters, what you look forward to. And you know, I want to hear both sides of the argument. What do you not like? That's okay. You can call with that too. We don't mind. 503-325-0010. Gonna get back to my list. Dave Kruger in Astoria says that get out the fleece pants, the rain jacket, and the fleece toque. And I couldn't agree more that the proper clothing is key to a happy winter. You're pretty miserable when your feet are cold or wet. And like the saying goes, there's no such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. So 503-325-0010, we're talking winter preparation and what we like about it here on The Conversation on Coast Community Radio. John in Astoria says, give me a cave with old machines and lots of LED lights. I think that's a good suggestion. And here we go with another phone call. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment about winter prep? Hello?
Hi, this is Steve Swanson.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. I'm good. How are you?
Excellent, excellent. I appreciate your comments about Huga, and I'm a great believer in having a wood stove and a cozy fire, but I also like the fact that winter is river season in the Pacific Northwest, and getting out to paddle the whitewater on the Olympic Peninsula is something that I really look forward to in the winter.
Now, that has to be where the proper clothing is required, eh?
Yes. A dry suit preferably, and at least a wetsuit are totally necessary.
So that's on the Olympic Peninsula where there's whitewater rivers. What's the river?
There are a number of rivers. The Queets, the Ho, the Clearwater, the Solduck, the Bogashiel, all beautiful rivers. The Sapsa.
Now, do you ever take a polar bear dip in the river?
No, I try to avoid that.
Yeah. Keep that kayak upright.
Exactly.
All right. Well, any other wintertime activities or preparation you like to do?
You know, there are some. Storm watching is really fun. But those are the ones that I can't really do in the summertime.
Absolutely. All right, Steve, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
We're talking what we love about the winter on The Conversation, and the phone number is 503-325-0010. I've seen John's man cave with his old machines, and it is pretty amazing. And I think he and I are of a similar heart and mind when it comes to enjoying keeping interesting pieces of old technology operational, and also appreciating the quality of build that used to be commonplace. And has been replaced with what they call planned obsolescence, machines that are built to fail and be replaced rather than repaired. So thanks, John, for that comment. Brenda says, it's time for art making and staring into happy lamps. I don't have a happy lamp, but one of our office mates here at the station does. And whenever I walk by, it does look like the sun is shining in there, and I am drawn to it like a fly or a moth to the flame. Lisa pointed out Hygge, which is indeed basically the theme for this show. And so she promised she would be listening with a mug of hot chocolate wrapped in a cashmere throw and in front of the fire. Unless it's sunny and warm. And, well, it's not raining and it's not particularly cold, but maybe it's somewhere in between. Marianne says, candles and yoga classes. Candles came up pretty regularly in my research into Hygge, and that's just an extremely commonplace thing for there to be hundreds of candles lit in some of those more northern latitudes of Norway, Denmark. And so from what I read, it's really worth a trip to see what the Scandinavians do with light in the wintertime. And we did just have the fall back last Sunday, the going away of daylight savings time. And so it is getting dark early. And so I hope you've got a good stock of candles for the winter. What else do you like? I should have asked Donna what authors that she likes to read in the wintertime. Julia says, making soup. That is a good one. I was never a big soup person as a kid. But now that I'm an adult and I do like to cook, I love making soup, and there's something about a good hot bowl of soup that really warms you up from the inside. So that's a really good tip for the winter. Thank you, Julia, for that one. And Joanne chimed in with socks and sweaters. Yay! So we like our socks and our sweaters, and especially if they're made of wool and keeping us warm and dry. Sharon says that in the gorge, she skis, snowshoes, hikes, kayaks, dances, enjoys the sunshine and the cold, and hanging out. And in Astoria, where she lived for many years previously, she used to drink, die a slow death of depression and boredom, and, well, you get the idea. But I'm glad that Sharon is happy in the gorge with all the skiing, snowshoeing, hiking, and kayaking, and dancing that she can enjoy. We do have a very climatologically diverse area here. Joan Herman says, waits to keep her cape from becoming a sail and making her airborne. And Kit wants us to remember that Northwest snow at sea level is not like Rocky Mountain snow at mile high level. So when you see that commercial for a Subaru and how they can race around in the snow, that isn't how it is here. And so I asked her to expand, and she said that when I moved back to the Pacific Northwest in 99, she'd been used to driving on cold, hard, dry snow in Colorado. Her first experience on a snowy Portland morning was to find herself sliding inexorably on the slushy surface toward the edge of the parking lot. She was parked when this happened. when she learned that the very wet snow of the Pacific Northwest made Colorado-type snow driving very different. The water content is so high here in our snow that it quickly forms a slippery surface that is very difficult to manage if you're not used to it. And it can also freeze overnight, which is very challenging. So, you know, you definitely have to change your driving patterns in the winter here. If you're just tuning in, this is The Conversation on Coast Community Radio, and I feel like I'm mostly talking to myself, so I'd love a phone call at 503-325-0010 to tell me what you love about Pacific Northwest winters, and also what you do to prepare for them, because being prepared is the only way to enjoy a Pacific Northwest winter. Patty Marks says she looks forward to the beaches being empty and the tourists being gone. And I think she's not the only one that feels that way. Thanks for that, Patty. Kevin has some tips. He says, prepare. Get the wood in. Put the tender plants away. Make sure the cat has an outside bed sheltered from both horizontal western rain and freezing eastern wind. Tie down or store anything that might blow away. Put another blanket on the bed. Wash your scarves. Reflect that 45 degrees and raining is somehow colder than 25 and sunny. And finally, looking forward to winter being over. And we've got another call. Hi, you're on the air. What's your thoughts about wintertime here in the Northwest?
Good morning, Graham. We recently bought an outdoor ping pong table. And I'd love to see this all over the community. We have been having a wonderful time dodging raindrops whenever they're, whenever the forecast is raining. We get together all bundled up, and we're prepared to head out during the winter to play whenever we can. It's been lots of fun because we have a little wine, a little fire nearby, and four of us at the table, four of us watching, and it's just been, you know, you'd think that you can't play ping pong because it's windy here, but we don't care. We just play.
Yeah, that just adds to the fun, right?
Yeah, and it's just playing. We just play to keep the ball going. So, and it's playing to keep some fellowship going. And I think it's important that we take advantage of those moments between storms. So an outdoor ping pong table, please, let's start something here. Some neighborhood gaming would be wonderful. I can't stress enough how much joy we get out of this. And I've never heard of anybody doing it, so it's something. I heard that London put out 1,000 ping pong tables.
Wow.
And just left them in their communities. And the only rule was put the balls and the paddles back.
Yeah.
When you're done playing. And it just strikes up conversations and laughter and a fun way to spend a moment between raindrops.
Well, that's a great suggestion. That might be the call of the day so far.
Thank you, Graham.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. So, outdoor ping pong tables in the wintertime. Can you hack it? Can you handle it? Do you have the intestinal fortitude required to play ping pong in the wind and the rain and the cold here in the Northwest? I'm not sure I do, but I'll give it a shot. I'll try anything once. Let's see. Where are we? John added that you want to tie down your garbage and recycling bins. He had wondered why there were large eye bolts on his driveway retaining wall when he first moved in. And then after his first 70-plus mile-per-hour windstorm, he no longer wondered why those eye bolts were in his retaining wall. So that's a good one. We've got some rocks that we put on the lid, but we don't have eye bolts. Something to think about. Richard says that rain gear and warm clothes help. And looking forward to summer. So looking forward to summer, I think you can do better, Richard. That's not really enjoying the winter, is it? That's pining for something that you don't have. I want to hear about pining for what you do have and loving it. So on The Conversation, we're talking about the good things about Northwest winters and all of the things that we can do to be prepared for them. One big one is, oh, and the number, 503-325-0010. This is your radio show, so give us a call, get on the air, and this is a community effort here to prepare for the winter and to find our hygge. So driving in the wintertime, you got to change your driving habits. If you're going to go over Bradley or over any of the mountain passes, 26 or any of them, you want to be prepared. You need chains if you have two-wheel drive. If you have all-wheel drive, then you're probably in good shape. But there's lots of other tips, too. I used to drive a really lightweight pickup, and it would fishtail and slide all over the place. And so a good tip is to have bags of sand or some cinder blocks in the back of your car to help with traction. We've got another phone call. Hi there. You are on the air. What's your comment about winter?
Hi, Graham. This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Well, we live out in the countryside, and so we have to do a lot of preparation for winter, including getting a lot of firewood in. We have a big garden in the summer, so the food's all put away, so we're well fed all winter. But nobody has mentioned something that's really important, and that's cleaning your chimney.
Ah.
Because we love our wood fires, and it's really important to get those chimneys clean because people do tend to have chimney fires.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
So that's something that's good to do. And, you know, just getting ready. In wintertime, we tend to lose power often.
True.
Out our way, and we have to have a generator, access to a generator. We actually share one with neighbors. And there's just a lot to do, and it is nice to be cozy and have a fire.
That is a really good idea, to have a generator and also to share it with your neighbors, you know?
Yes, yeah. It's a good community effort. So anyway, we're enjoying the comments this morning, and having a day like today doesn't even make it seem like winter.
I know, yeah.
So,
well,
thanks.
We'll see what happens. There's a ways to go.
Thanks for doing a good job.
Thanks, Debbie.
Bye.
Bye. So we haven't really gotten into the nuts and bolts of real winter preparation, and I think Debbie's comment stands out as a strong one, to have your chimney clean if you have a wood-fired burning, a wood stove. And there are other types of preventative maintenance that you need to do no matter what kind of central heat you have. If you have a gas furnace, you're going to want to change the air filter. You're supposed to change it like every 90 days. And so basically that's, you know, once a winter, assuming that you don't use it too much in the spring, summer, and fall. But get that air filter changed in your furnace, because that is going to extend the life of it. It's going to extend the efficiency of it, and it's going to be better for your health as well, the quality of the air that you're breathing in your house. So I really encourage you to change out that filter in your furnace or have your chimney swept. Going back to driving, here are some supplies that it's good to have in your car. It's always good to have a full tank of gas and fresh antifreeze. And on top of that, you might want some blankets or mittens or extra socks or hats. You know, just keep a jacket in your car. What if you get stuck and you're not prepared and you have to spend a few hours in the car without the engine running? You're going to need something to keep you warm. An ice scraper and snow brush, flashlight, extra batteries, jumper cables, a first aid kit, some bottled water, a good multi-tool or toolkit, some road flares or reflective warning triangles, and some windshield cleaner. And some extra supplies for frigid weather, that bag of sand that I mentioned in the back to prevent slipping or sliding, a collapsible or folding snow shovel, blanket, tire chains and toe strap, hand warmers, winter boots, sleeping bag for really long trips. So those are all some good suggestions for things to keep in your car and to stay safe. And we have another call. Hi, you're on The Conversation. What's your comment or question?
Well, it's fairly warm right now for this time of year, but pretty soon it'll get cold again like it did a few weeks ago. So, whiskey.
Yeah.
And I had another idea, and I don't know what it is because I just woke up. So I'm just listening, and this is fun, interesting, as we, you know, a hunker down.
Yep, a good winter warmer drink is a good tip.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Yep, our phone answerer, Pete, when I polled the office, he did say that it's a great time of year to explore the depths of your liquor cabinet. Drink responsibly, folks. The number here is 503-325-0010. It's the Conversation on Coast Community Radio, and we're talking about how to be prepared for winter, and we're also talking about how to have a really good attitude about it, how to not let depression set in, or what they call seasonal affective disorder. Sadness. I bet whoever came up with that was really proud of themselves. So going back to my list of things for the car, there's just a few more other essentials. It'd be great to have a small fire extinguisher, tire pressure gauge, a jack and lug wrench in case you need to change a tire. It's great to have some rags and hand cleaner, duct tape, a foam tire sealant, one of those fix-a-flat cans. That can get you where you need to go in an emergency. Rain poncho, some non-perishable high-energy food, a battery, lighter or box of matches in a waterproof container, spare change and cash, a compass, paper maps, a Bowie knife. Just kidding. 503-325-0010. There's just about 4 minutes left in the show, and we'd love to hear some more tips on how to be prepared for the winter. Did you put your little styrofoam thing on your water spigot outside the house? Or maybe you're shutting off certain valves to outdoor spigots. You don't want your pipes to freeze. And pets, you know, really think about your pets. This is a time of year where, you know, not providing for your pets or your livestock or your horses, you know, that's a no-no. You got to take good care of your animals. They depend on you. And so, like Kevin said, make sure that there's an outdoor bed that's not going to bear the brunt of the cold east winds or the sideways rains out of the, I think the wind comes out of the northwest, no, it's out of the southwest in the winter, generally speaking. But yeah, when those winds pick up, you know, is everything tied down? And not all of us live in a home. Some of us live on a boat. You know, you may need to do some extra waterproofing, but really do, you know, think along those lines of what happens if the power goes out, not just for an hour, but what if it were for a week? You know, the winter storm in 2007 is one that we talk about a lot, where we were without utilities on the coast for 7+ days. And so, you know, even if you have a generator, how much fuel do you have for it? You can never be too prepared for something like that here on the coast. So what if the power goes out? What's your heat source in the wintertime? What's your cooking fuel? Do you have enough food put away? Do you have water put away? These are all good things to think about as we head into winter. And when that winter really sets in, the more prepared you are, the happier you can be. We've got another call. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment about winter? Hi, you're on the air. Are you listening to the telephone? Oh, we lost him. Doggone it. There's still a few minutes left to call. 503-325-0010. Please do ring us again and chime in with your thoughts about how to be prepared for winter and how to have a good attitude about it. The big takeaway with Huga is that attitude is everything. If you think that the winter is going to be hard, then it's probably going to be hard. But if you go into the winter thinking that you've got lots of stuff to look forward to, then maybe it won't be so hard. And we've got that caller back. Hi, what's your comment or question?
Hi, I just tuned in a little while ago, so I'm not sure if you've already mentioned this, but one thing that I recently became aware of, the very inexpensive ham radio options that are available. I bought a Baofeng ham radio that has several different frequencies and modes of transmitting and receiving, and it was $25.
Wow.
It's a very, and it's and, you know, ham radio specialists say, oh, well, that's a little thing. But in an emergency, it could be the difference between being in communication and understanding what's going on in the world around you or being able to perhaps call out. So one more thing to think about.
Absolutely. That's a really good tip. And, you know, here at the station, we have a really good relationship with local ham operators. They are sort of the line of defense in an emergency as far as communications are concerned. And so they've set up a really robust network. We've got lots more calls, so thanks for that one. And we'll try to get the next couple folks through real quick-like. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to say that come December, the equinox or the
winter, the winter solstice, yeah, December 21st.
The solstice, thank you.
Yeah, that's a really special night and a special time of year.
Well, that's how I get through the winter, because if I can get through October and November, I just know that there's more light coming, and it's wonderful, and then spring's here, and the flowers come.
And that is something to celebrate.
Yes.
All right, thanks for that call.
Thank you.
Bye. Got a couple more people on the line, but we are running out of time. We'll see how quickly we can get through this next comment. Make sure you're listening to your phone and not your radio, because we have a short delay. Hi, you're on the air. What's your comment or question?
One more thing to think about for the winter is maybe volunteering at the warming center.
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, that was actually something that my partner Jessamine wanted to add, is that wintertime is a great time of year to volunteer. And there's lots of opportunities. The Warming Center is an excellent opportunity, but there are lots. And so just a quick little search online, and you can find lots of things to do. Thanks for that call.
Okay, thank you.
Bye. Well, that wraps up the conversation today. Thanks for listening. This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, and on the web at coastradio.org. And you can listen to us on your mobile device using the TuneIn app.